Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Superb music in the greatest tradition of the music box. This is one of the grand traditional products of Switzerland. We are in the town of Sainte-Croix, which is in the relatively remote mountain area in the Jura Mountains of the canton or state of Vaud, V-A-U-D, in French-speaking Western Switzerland. This is the home of the music box tradition, and we're delighted to have on Switzerland in Sound Aldo Magada, who is the CEO of Rüge, R-E-U-G-E, Rüge Music, which is one of the oldest and best established companies producing Swiss music boxes. Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, and thank you for that wonderful sound indeed. How old is the company, actually?
The company is founded in 1865 by Mr. Charles Rüge, who was a farmer and watchmaker, both of it.
I think that's very important, because if we look at the origin of the music box, it's so closely related to the technology of the mechanical watch. And this is also very much at home, originated in the Jura Mountains, in, for example, Canton Vaud, also Canton Neuchâtel, which is very, very well known for the watch tradition. And there's a good reason for it. It has to do with the climate.
The first reason is the main one, as you said. It's a winter, a long winter, and all the people, or majority of these people, were farmers.
So, a lot of winter and nothing to do.
Exactly, that's the truth. So they were very interested to do something else than just waiting for the good weather. And the second reason, and especially in summer, it was a lot of English people coming through Switzerland to go to Italy. And at this time, they had some watches and sometimes some mechanism to repair.
Yeah. Was this the time of the so-called Grand Tour, this great English tradition where you had to see the continent and Switzerland was along the way?
It's exactly that. I mean, it was this time where English people were going to Côte d'Azur or to Italy, to Florence.
Incidentally, we're very close to France here, aren't we? We see quite a few French cars going through the village from the nearby area, the Franche Montagne, as they call it on the other side.
You're right. We are basically, I would say, 8 kilometers far from the border.
4 or 5 miles.
4 or 5 miles from far from the border. And we have also a big part of our personnel, of people here, who are French.
Because they also have a similar tradition on the other side of the border, don't they? They're also very skilled.
They are very skilled, and don't forget that Jura is Jura. It doesn't matter about the passport.
You're all good friends and neighbors.
We are, and we share the speaking. I mean, we speak the same language, and we have the same culture.
Well, let's get back to the music boxes, because Rüge Music specialized in music boxes and not watches. There were many other companies who were specialized in that and are still in business. Some of the great names of the handmade mechanical Swiss watch tradition are still doing very well here. But as we look in this large room, it's a kind of meeting room and showroom here, there are dozens and dozens of all kinds of music boxes. And the ones I see here are distinguished by two different categories. One, encased in glass, where you can actually see the beautiful brass mechanism. I believe that is the metal, isn't it, brass?
Yes, you're right. Brass is a mechanism, except the notes. It's done in stainless steel.
Okay, the comb. So the part that actually is plucked by those pins that go around. Is that correct?
Totally correct, yes.
And the other one, and these look like real works of art. Actually, you could say furniture. They're encased in the most beautiful types of wood, which is from the furniture tradition. I guess this was the time when the music box was part of every home or every good home, and it had to go with the interior.
Yes, don't forget that the music box had the function before. Before the phonograph, it was a function. I mean, it was reproducing music. It is, in fact, a music instrument, but driving not by a man, by a mechanical system. And, of course, it was belonging entirely to the living room, so it has to fit the furniture of 100 years ago, I mean, before the phonograph. But what is important in the music box is the emotion. The emotion of having this kind of very relaxing music. And also, it's a mechanical system. I mean, it's...
It has soul.
Yeah, exactly. You got the term I was looking for. It has soul, and it's really emotion. So today we are selling emotion, not only tradition. Tradition is the way of manufacturing, because there's a lot of main work. It's not a lot of machinery involved.
It's manual labor, very intense.
Yes, pretty much so, and especially on some operation where it's totally manually done.
I believe at one period it was also considered very romantic to give a loved one, a sweetheart, for example, a music box. It was considered a very precious gift and a very thoughtful one.
It was at this time, but it's still, you know, even Princess Diana received a music box for her wedding from the Swiss government.
How many different kinds of music boxes have you produced over the years in terms of visual design?
I would say hundreds and hundreds, because we are also very careful to propose or to answer to any demand or special demand.
You could produce a company musical logo or something like that as even a giveaway, for example.
Yes, it is. In fact, we can reproduce in terms of sound in a music box any kind of playable on piano music. That's the only limitation.
It reminds one a little bit of the old piano roll. The idea is similar, isn't it?
I think the piano roll was an extension of the music box.
Music box came first.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's hard for me to imagine the degree of skill it takes for someone to listen to a piece of music, to look at the notes, and then place pins on a rotating cylinder in just a certain way that the timing is absolutely perfect and the melody is true. You talked about it being labor-intensive and a lot of manual work. I don't think, I can imagine anyway, that these people don't grow on trees. This is a very, very rare specialty today.
Yes, I have to say that's one of the main concerns we have, because we have very well-skilled people, but unfortunately the new generation is not really behind, and we have to take care about not losing the know-how.
Could we maybe look in on sure. Someone who's working on a music box? I understand that tuning is an important part of it, and especially in the better products, for which you're very well known, hand tuning is absolutely indispensable.
That's the only way to do, and it was never found that we can do by a computer or we can do by any kind of system. So the man has to do it if you want to have, of course, quality sound.
Can you put your finger on perhaps the most unique or maybe the most exclusive or expensive piece that Ruge has ever produced?
Well, Ruge produced or used to produce and still having in a factory some pieces where it's cost over the million Swiss francs, and it has music but also automaton on it.
Now, were these special orders for individual customers?
Yes, it is. It was mainly for Japanese people and people from the United States.
People with some money.
Yeah, you have to.
it's an expensive, exclusive gift or possession. Here's a lady, for example, who has a box of movements. These look like hand-turned movements. Something destined perhaps for a souvenir shop, something like that?
That's in fact an exclusive movement we are doing for good partners we have in the Black Forest, and that's done for the cuckoo clock, but the high-hand cuckoo clock, of course. Well, in fact, she tried to find out, because she put, in fact, the on-off button right now, and she tried to find out if it's really working well, because, you know, for us, quality is a main word. It has to be okay. It has to be okay for a lot of years.
Swiss quality has been a traditional slogan for generations. You can't afford to lose it, especially in this business, I guess.
That's the only way for us to survive. Otherwise, we like the others.
Do you have a lot of competition?
We have some competition, but not really in Switzerland. We have some competition in Asia with Asian people. They are good guys, but I think we are in a different league.
Who are your biggest customers? Where are the biggest markets today for your products?
Biggest market is US, definitely, and Japan. Japan, they are very, very important because they know a lot about this business, this music box. They are collecting also music box, and they have museum all around Japan where they have specialists and very sophisticated people.
Also, I can see the people working on all this. There are men, there are women, and they have their own places to work. It's almost a church-like atmosphere in here, except for us. There's utter silence, and they're all concentrating very greatly. I suppose this does take concentration.
You have to, because for two reasons. First, you have to be able to hear what you're doing, because it's about sound. And the second thing is, you know, it's a delicate kind of work, so you definitely have to be concentrated.
You produce and have produced in the past not only music boxes, but also related products. They were very popular years ago, too, like Nickelodeons, this sort of thing. And they had a great history as well.
Yes, and we definitely try to maintain some tradition on some products. And for example, we're still manufacturing singing birds.
They actually do sing, don't they? They sound incredibly similar to the real thing.
Oh, you can try with a cat. I mean, it's a final test. I mean, the cat will react, definitely.
Here's one that's under construction. It's absolutely incredible. I think in a blind test, most people wouldn't tell the difference, as you say. There's a tiny bellows, and then there's a mechanical piece here, which looks very much like an intricate clockwork. I guess, again, it's similar.
It's very similar. This mechanism has 250 pieces. It has to be, of course, assembled with care. And everything is mechanical, so it's definitely very close by the watchmaking standard.
And do you have any idea what the most popular melodies are in music boxes, the biggest demand?
Yes, we have, for example, in Japan, 50% of our sales, it's coming from one tune.
Which one is this, the melody?
This is Canon from Pachelbel, and it represents 50% of our sales in Japan.
And so the classics are still the favorite ones?
Yeah, because it's still an evergreen, so you can always play this tune to through the years without getting, I will say, a little bit tired of it.
We have to set the record straight here. Perhaps a lot of people will remember the Orson Welles movie, The Third Man. And there was a famous line in there where he says, the Swiss have had 500 years of peace and tranquility, and what did they produce? The cuckoo clock. Well, Switzerland did not produce the cuckoo clock at all, did it?
No, it's basically from east of Europe and Germany.
Especially the Black Forest, I think.
Black Forest is definitely the place.
So don't confuse the music box with the cuckoo clock. I want to say thank you very much to Aldo Magada, Chief Executive Officer of Rouge Music in Saint-Croix, this country's premier manufacturer of music boxes in the Grand Swiss tradition.
A funny thing's been missing from air travel recently. It's called customer service. And it's not just about saying welcome aboard and see you again soon. It's about understanding why you fly. It's about the hundreds of hours of training we go through before we even step on board a plane. It's the way we prepare the cabin and each other before every flight. It's about how we say hello, whether it's the 30th time you've flown with us or the first. We are over 10,000 strong in 90 destinations around the world. We are China Airlines, and we blossom for you every day.
We're in Interlaken, the famous resort in the Bernese Oberland, not far from the Swiss federal capital, Bern. We have the mountains, the Eiger, Mönch, and the Jungfrau, those famous mountains in plain sight of us here in Interlaken. But we're not in Interlaken to look at the mountains today. We're in Interlaken to talk about a very Swiss phenomenon. It's the phenomenon of the Swiss postal bus or Swiss postal coach, if you prefer that term. And we're in Interlaken because we're speaking today with Bruno Hugler, who's the national manager of the Swiss Postal Bus Network Tourism. Now, first of all, before we go anywhere else, Mr. Hugler, I'd like to find out a little bit about the history of the Swiss Postal Bus. I think the name gives it away. Originally, they were conceived to carry mail. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, the history goes back to 1849, when the first horse-drawn postal coaches drove over the Swiss passes, or the Gotthard Pass, the famous one in Switzerland, and it changed in 1906 to motorized coaches.
You have the mail which is being carried, you have passengers which are being carried, and sometimes even light merchandise or freight. This too.
It became quite seldom now, but it's true that in the past we were really transporting everything, almost everything, yeah.
It's very funny when people hear of a post office, they normally think of an operation which is running on a deficit. But if I'm correctly informed, the Swiss postal bus system actually makes a profit.
Yeah, that makes a very little profit.
It's better than the loss, right?
It's better than the loss, of course, yeah.
And it's very popular. Everywhere you go in Switzerland, you'll see the characteristic yellow postal buses. And also, you have different models and different types of buses, different size, but there is sort of a standard size. It's a beautiful bus, very clean inside, very comfortable, well-maintained, and a new feature that has come on recently. I just saw it in central Switzerland on the weekend when I was above the Lake of Lucerne going up to Salisberg. You get every station announced acoustically, and you even see on the sign where you are, so it's impossible to make a mistake and not get off of the right place.
Of course, that's very, very important for all our clients and also for foreign tourists.
The other important thing is that the Swiss Postal Bus Network is actually integrated, fully integrated, in the Swiss public transit system. There are the trains, of course, the federal and private railways. And then there are steamships, and then, of course, the Swiss postal buses. And what's really interesting is that the schedules are synchronized, so you just get on and off, and you don't have to wait for very long.
We are a part of the Swiss travel system, so it means that with a Swiss pass, with a Swiss card, that's the ticket for Switzerland, the ticket to Switzerland, you can use all our bus lines. And as you mentioned already, normally where the railway ends, there's still a bus going on, bring you at the very end of each valley in Switzerland. And we say also with the postal buses, you're able to get closer to the inhabitants of Switzerland, you get closer to the nature, to the mountains. A lot of people prefer the bus. You mentioned before now all the stops are announced, it's also written, and it's no problem for English-speaking people to go around. And I think beside our four languages in Switzerland, almost everybody speaks also English.
So the drivers know the basics to get you around.
They know the basics, yeah, to give the information. And as they are local, they also know, they know a lot about the area, and they are very willing to give you some information if you ask them.
And they're very friendly. I want to tell you this anecdote. I mentioned being in Salisburg in central Switzerland just over the weekend. It's Monday as we're recording this. And I was preoccupied. My mind was somewhere else. And I got off the postal bus. I had my knapsack on. And I forgot that I had a piece of baggage there, luggage, in the bus. I went to the train station. It beautifully synchronized. 5 minutes later, there was to be a train to take me to Lucerne and then on to the Bern area. And I just wasn't thinking. And suddenly, something hit me on the platform in the station. I forgot my bag. And I turn around, and there's the driver came right to the platform and said, somebody left this bag on the bus. So that's the kind of service you get, too.
That's the kind of service, and I'm very happy that you discovered that service. I mean, they are very friendly, they're very helpful. That's what we teach them also. And we focus a lot on quality, on high quality, and to really make the a round trip by postal bus as an unforgettable experience.
Well, I have another anecdote too. On the way down, and this is a twisting mountain road from Salisberg down to Buchs on the Lake of Lucerne, the incalculable happened. two buses, the postal bus and another large tourist bus, came together at the same in a curve. Now, this is probably any bus driver's nightmare, but these guys are so well trained. He was cool. The whole thing was sorted out in 2 minutes, and he navigated his way around these two bus drivers. I don't know how they did it. They had radar or something, but they just are so experienced. They are really well trained, aren't they?
They are very well trained. I mean, also all our bus drivers, they are used to drive on our narrow streets in Switzerland, also over the passes. And that's of our main topics, the post bus lines in the Central Alps, to drive over those passes, to have to pass by another coach maybe, whose driver is not so experienced as ours are maybe.
As far as the ticket possibilities are concerned, you mentioned the Swiss Pass before. This is offered by the Swiss Federal Railways, and you're included in that. You're part of that, right? As well as the steamships, I believe.
Yes, we are a part of this system. You can buy a Swiss Pass, for instance. That's a ticket that allows to travel all over Switzerland for a couple of days. It's up on you to choose between 7, 14, 21 days, and all the trains are included, all the postal buses and also the steamers.
And I believe even trams and city buses, is that correct?
About 30 city buses and trams are also included.
It's the only ticket you need here.
It's the only ticket you need.
Well, the Swiss Postal Bus Network reminds me very much, or the public transport system in this country reminds me a lot of the veins and arteries and capillaries that we have in our body. You have the main arteries carrying the mainstream. This would be the rail. And then, of course, when you get into the more extremities, the outback, in other words, in every hamlet, in every mountain village, you have a postal bus serving them. There's nowhere you cannot get to in this country by bus. You're 100% coverage, practically.
We can say that in Switzerland you're 100% covered, because our public transportation system, I think it's one of the best in the world.
Some say the very best, and not the Swiss say that, foreign observers say that.
That's what I heard very often, and I think Switzerland is very famous for that. We are famous for the nature, we are famous for our mountains, but you need the possibility to discover all that. And with trains, with steamers, with the postal buses, you really get it.
What would you say from a touristic point of view are probably the most popular routes that you serve?
To show you that, I would like to take you to a small itinerary that starts in the Valais region, let's say in Saas-Fee. We drive
Canton Valais.
Canton de Valais in the south. We take the postal bus up there. It's a Corfu resort. We drive down to Brieg. And on the way up to the Simplon Pass, the driver even will tell us something about Napoleon, who crossed the Simplon Pass a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then this post bus in Domodossola.
That's Italy. You go all the way to Italy.
Italy. It's also to show you how cosmopolitan we are. Mm-hmm. From Domodossola in Italy, we take a very scenic railway through the Cento Valley, means 100 Valley, to
Ticino.
Exactly, in the southern part of Switzerland. In Lugano, we take again the postal bus. Beside, we see the palm trees, and we go straight ahead from the palm trees to the glaciers in the Graubünden area to St. Moritz. Mm. From St. Moritz, again, over the Julier Pass to Chur, of course, by postal bus. And we will continue then our ride from the Glarus to central Switzerland, to the Lake of Lucerne, from there to Andermatt. We will have a very nice ride over the passes of Gotthard, of Nuven and Furka, Grimsel.
These are all the great names, passes.
All the great passes. Mm-hmm. We will go to the Bernese Oberland, for instance, to Meiringen. We will enter into the
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. I wanted to mention it, in the Rosenlaue Tal by postal bus. We will pass by the Reichenbach Falls, where Sherlock Holmes died, over the Kleine Scheidegg. We will end at the foot of Eigermönch and Jungfrau in Grindelwald. That's just an example for a round trip that we offer also to clients.
Bruno Hugler, manager of the tourism branch of the Swiss Postal Bus System, headquartered here in Interlaken, the capital of the Bernese Oberland. Thanks very much indeed. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.